The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the air. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, March 14th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I also think the show number is wrong. I think it's show number 364 today, so let me adjust that up there on the graphic. But welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. And on today's show, got so much information to bring to you. It's just going to be jam-packed, so get ready. We got Representative Steve Cohen, the Democrat from Tennessee, in the United States Congress once again pwning another drug warrior. This time it's the deputy DEA administrator, Mr. Harrigan. We'll bring that to you thanks to our friends at moxnews.com. Stay tuned for that at half past the hour in our Government at Work segment. Then we'll have time to get to our radical rant at the end of the show, asking the question, who's blocking Oregon legalization? There's an explosive story out of the Portland Mercury today talking about how one initiative is being blocked, and there are some concerns it might be the fault of the other initiative. We'll find out. We'll take a look at that in the Radical Rant. Also, for behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at the state of Colorado, where immigration and tourism is booming since the legalization of marijuana, even if the tourism board doesn't really want to admit it. Also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, so we'll have Herb Thrasher calling in and giving us a preview of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight. You'll be getting Herb Thrasher and Brian the Red tonight. I will be on an Amtrak train making my way to a marijuana vendor business fair going on in Seattle, Washington at the Magical Butter Studios. We'll be recording all weekend and getting some great interviews and coverage for you to bring to you on next week's shows. And speaking of next week's shows, next week is Spanibus Week here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. We will be featuring a segment at 3:45 every day next week from our own Gordon Green from Gordon Green's Music Planet. So you'll get to see what's going on at the largest marijuana fair on the continent. That is Europe, of course. So Spanibus is going on next week. Also, Jorge Cervantes will be there. Danny Danko. Our good friend Adam Han from Handmade Apparel is out there. Josh from Oil Slick is out there. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of people to talk to. Plus, Gordon's going to hook up with Ed Rosenthal and get some of his thoughts as well. Stay tuned. We're coming up with the news next, where we've got all sorts of headlines, including the FBI refusing to run background checks in Washington, the medical marijuana law in Washington State, the new regs are dead, and more. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent ya. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. .420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Washington state legislators cannot agree on how to divvy up recreational marijuana tax money, so regulation of the medical marijuana industry is dead. Senate Bill 5887 failed to generate the two-thirds support needed to alter a citizen-passed initiative and died today as the Senate adjourned. Republicans supported an amendment that would direct a portion of I-502 tax revenues to the local governments where the new pot shops are located, explaining that this would provide incentive for local governments not to ban such outlets and ensure greater access throughout the state to discourage the black market. Democrats opposed the amendment, calling it a diversion of money promised to the state for local law enforcement that should have lower costs after legalization. Carrie Boyder of Americans for Safe Access told the media, quote, "Patients are the ones left in legal limbo because the lawmakers can't do their job," end quote. Referring to an unregulated medical marijuana system the U.S. attorney has called untenable, and that certainly violates the federal guidelines on state marijuana distribution. Maryland Senate voted 36-8 on Thursday to support marijuana decriminalization. Under the Senate version of the bill, possession of less than 10 grams of marijuana will earn only a $100 civil fine. Anyone under the age of 18 or an adult caught for the third time will be brought before a judge who may send them to a rehabilitation program. A measure for outright legalization has been tabled for now, lacking enough legislative support to move forward. Democratic delegate Heather Mazur, who is running for governor, also has a decriminalization bill in the works. Another bill would simply establish drug court-style diversion programs for marijuana in all Maryland jurisdictions, completion of which would result in clearing of the arrest record. An estimated 1,200 people began lining up at 6 a.m. to participate in America's first cannabis job fair in Denver. CannaSearch featured 15 marijuana-related companies seeking employees and job seekers from as far away as Texas, Illinois, New Mexico, and Missouri. They filled the event seeking cannabis-specific jobs like bud tender and trimmer, as well as traditional jobs like ad sales, information technology, and accounting. Tim Cullen, who helped organize the event, says high unemployment is partially to credit for the turnout, but also specific interest in legal marijuana's new frontier. Cullen added, quote, "Cannabis legalization in Colorado has gotten a lot of news, and there are people who are willing to relocate and come to Colorado to be a part of this," end quote.
The ability to successfully cultivate marijuana accounts for just 2.5% of the score given to medical marijuana dispensary applicants in Massachusetts, compared to 12% given for local support and 15% given for strong security systems. That's bothering successful large-scale Denver medical marijuana grower Kavan Kalatbari, whose consulting for 7 Massachusetts dispensary applicants did not help them land license. Kalatbari was shocked when one of the winning applicants called him for consultation. Quote, "I thought it was weird that we got passed over for someone without cannabis cultivation experience," end quote, said Kalatbari when he learned the applicant, a company associated with former Congressman William Delahunt, had no large-scale grow experience. When Massachusetts hired a consulting firm from Virginia to review the dispensary applications, not one member of the 7-person panel had experience in agriculture, cultivation, or medical marijuana. Massachusetts Medical Marijuana Program Director says cultivation skill isn't that important a factor, adding, quote, "We could be selling candy or shoes. This is really about business management and business infrastructure." The FBI is refusing to run background checks on Washington dispensary agents despite continuing to run background checks on Colorado dispensary agents since 2010. The Justice Department will not comment on the discrepancy, issuing only a written statement that reads, quote, "To ensure a consistent national approach, the department has been reviewing its background check policies, and we hope to have guidance for states in the near term," end quote. Washington's legalization law requires fingerprints and background checks of all dispensary agents, but only requires 3 months residence for the many entrepreneurs who flock to Washington to grow and sell marijuana legally. Washington State Liquor Control Board officials won't directly address whether lack of an FBI check would prevent an applicant from getting a license. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website, 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines to take a look at Colorado's legalization tourism boom. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Rollerin.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night
right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Only on RadicalRuss.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 16 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines at Colorado's legalization, which is drawing immigrants and tourism like crazy. When marijuana reformers push for the legalization of herb, we often point out the direct fiscal benefits, like tax money that can be raised, or law enforcement money that can be saved, or the jobs that'll be created in the marijuana industry, like we just talked about that job fair in the headlines. But now we're beginning to see some indicators of the indirect fiscal benefit from legalization, immigration and tourism. We've already heard reports of the $2.1 million raised in the recreational marijuana taxes and the $14 million worth of products sold in January. Now, the Denver Post is reporting that the tax revenue may be so far above expectations, they may have to give some of it back. Colorado's got this thing called TABOR, the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and it mandates that excess tax collections must be refunded to the people. So it's possible people who don't even smoke pot or maybe even voted against Amendment 64 could be getting a tax refund check. You're welcome. Colorado's universities are also reporting a spike in enrollment. We reported that yesterday. University of Colorado is up 30% this year. Denver University has increased 81% over the past 5 years. And this is while the National Student Clearinghouse reports nationwide there's been a drop in student enrollments in the past 2 years. Now we get some data about Colorado and spring break. The college spring breakers are flocking to Denver. According to an analysis by Priceline.com, Denver trails only Las Vegas and New Orleans in being booked for spring break by people with a .edu email address. Of course, .edu, that's a college email address. Denver is more popular than traditional spring break locales Fort Lauderdale, Florida, South Padre Island, Texas, and Cancun, Mexico. And Colorado pot shops are still reporting that about half of the IDs they check are from out of state. And that's despite the lack of almost anywhere for a tourist to smoke pot legally. Public consumption is banned, and almost all hotels are non-smoking. But according to Rich Grant, he's the spokesman for Denver's Visitor and Convention Bureau, he tells a story that he heard of hotel guests who ask about the fine for smoking in a non-smoking room and then pay the $250 fine up front when they check in. Then you also have to consider the upwards of, 300 families now who have moved or are moving to Colorado to access life-saving CBD oil for their epileptic kids. Now, I know that's not a benefit of legalization, that's medical, but they probably represent just a fraction of the people who have emigrated to Colorado, patients with PTSD, depression, anxiety, and a whole lot of other conditions that aren't covered in most states' medical marijuana laws, including Colorado's. But they can access legal recreational marijuana. Now, despite all these obvious indicators of legalization, immigration, and toker tourism, Grant from the convention board says, quote, "We'll probably never really be able to tell," end quote, "whether marijuana's legality is attracting all these out-of-towners." One out-of-towner, Doug Drum of Syracuse, New York, talked to Denver's Fox 31 and said that prior to legalization, quote, "We would have never stopped in Denver. We wouldn't have stopped here to eat. We wouldn't have stopped here for anything," end quote. But Grant from the Visitors Bureau does say that the forthcoming High Times Cannabis Cup in Denver on 420 may provide definitive proof of the power of pot to draw tourists. You see, April 20th is also Easter Sunday, and that's typically a very slow day for hotels. Grant said, quote, "If downtown is sold out on Easter Sunday, you would have to say something was going on," end quote. Well, Mr. Grant, something will definitely be going on. 420 Denver, Colorado, the biggest cannabis cup yet. A new location, even larger location. Tickets are selling out quickly. In fact, I know this is going to be a packed event because when I bring the show to these cannabis cups over the past 4 years, I usually get 8 passes for my volunteer crew. This year I get 4 passes. This thing's going to be packed, folks, and we'll bring it to you right here at 420 Radio. Gonna be a good time. Brian the Red will be there with me.
Oh, we're gonna have a blast.
We'll have Left Wing Larry driving the Cadillac. We're gonna road trip our way in there. And Cultivated Travels, I think, is the name of the group. There's a Cultivated Travel out of Denver says they're at Weed Travel on Twitter. Says they're going to treat us to a concierge package when we get there.
Excellent.
All right, well, looking forward to it, Cultivated Travel. We'll see you soon.
No Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs. Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. Home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 23 after the hour, and my apologies to Herb Thrasher. We got our wires crossed. I was originally going to be here tonight for the Flower Hour and then gone the next two Fridays, but it turns out I'm gone this Friday and next Friday and not the third one. And Herb was asking me, is there a Rockin' Friday today and will you be at the show tonight? And I said no to the second part. And I did not address the first part, which was there going to be a Rockin' Friday today? Which obviously there is. So it's my apologies. Herb is all cool. He didn't mess anything up. It's all my fault. I was supposed to let him know and I didn't. So I'm going to have to tackle Rockin' Friday today, but it's going to be pretty easy because last week on the Flower Hour, we had this great interview with these two guys from a band out of Saskatoon, Alberta, Canada, Saskatchewan, Canada, named Black Hell Oil. And we just love them because, you know, BHO is their name, Black Hell Oil. They actually told us about how they came up with the name Black Hell Oil. And they didn't even realize that there was such a thing as BHO or that it would be popular for that reason. So you have to tune into that. You can go to the 420 radio page and catch our interview. It's on the Herb Thrasher page. And you can catch our interview with those guys. They were a lot of fun. And they got a 5-song EP that's out right now. It's called Smoke You Up. And the music is great off this EP. And the guys were a lot of fun to talk to. So I figure, let's give them some more love. Let's play another tune of theirs. Last week, we played a Black Hell Oil tune called Bring It On. This one is the title song from the EP. This one is Smoke You Up. Enjoy.
support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hemp Radio with Patty Cakes from Orange County, California, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT on 420radio.org.
Reforming America's prohibition laws cannot happen without relentlessly and directly engaging our lawmakers and other elected officials. The Russ Belville Show keeps you on top of all the latest developments at the federal, state, and local level with our government at work.
All right, folks, buckle in because we get another example of pwnage by one of our stalwart fighters, one of our defenders of freedom in the U.S. Congress, Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee. Thanks to MoxNews.com for making the recording for us.
Any opening comments? Thank you, Mr. Micah. I thank you and Mr. Connolly for allowing me to participate. I think this is one of the most important committees that we, subcommittee hearings that we've had since I've been in Congress. And because the basic respect for the law is so important, and what we do as legislators, congresspeople, is pass laws, when there's a law that is so universally or looked upon as wrong, a cultural lag where the public doesn't agree with what the law is, it breeds disrespect for the law, for the entire judiciary system. Therefore, it needs to be rectified because the foundation of our society rests upon the law. And young people think the law is a joke. And a lot of people that aren't so young think the law on marijuana is a joke, that you're taking people's liberties away. I want to go back into some history. A gentleman named Richard Bonney, and I'd like to introduce his letter. He's the Harrison Foundation Professor of Medicine and Law at UVA School of Law, Professor of Psychiatry as well, and we'll get to psychiatry later, and Director of the Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy. He served as the Associate Director of the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse from 1971 to 73. Richard Nixon was president a long time ago, and they had deliberations on this subject of marijuana. And he wrote a paper called Marijuana, a Signal of Misunderstanding. The commission in that paper recommended decriminalization for personal use in 1972. And he said that the commission only classified marijuana as Schedule I temporarily until studies could come forth. And there were studies available, and he felt clearly that the studies, and particularly some other evidence that we've got that Dr. Sanjay Gupta has referred to, from the Assistant Secretary of Health, Dr. Roger Egberg, who wrote a letter on this, suggesting he's the one who suggested it be classified as one temporarily until studies could take place. Dr. Egberg said, since there is little, still a considerable void in our knowledge of the plant and effects of the active drug contained in it, our recommendation is marijuana be retained within Schedule 1 at least until the completion of certain studies now underway to resolve the issue. So not because of sound science, Dr. Sanjay Gupta said, who changed his opinion on marijuana, but because of its absence its absence of science, because they never completed the studies, looked at the studies, or got involved there, that it was Schedule I. That was 1970, and there were studies underway that were never used. The idea that it's a Schedule I drug is ludicrous. Same as heroin and LSD, as far as their lack of medical benefits and their likelihood of causing addiction. And the DEA could start, Justice Department could start, by recommending that it be changed from Schedule I, and it should be changed from Schedule I. But let me go back some history, Mr. Chairman, and I think this is shocking to me, but it came to my attention through a Huffington Post article recently. This all started back in the late 30s, when Harry Anslinger was the head of DEA and decided that the people from the South, Mexico, were getting too involved in our community and our country, and that one way to do something was to start to enforce laws against marijuana, which was before that cannabis, but marijuana sounded more Mexican and objectionable to people that didn't like Hispanics. So it took on that tone, and they made it illegal. It wasn't illegal up to that time. But the war on drugs started under President Nixon. And Mr. Haldeman, for some people may not remember, Haldeman and Ehrlichman and these guys were big in the Watergate hearings, but they were the main think tank for President Nixon, if you call that think. Haldeman, in a diary entry of April 28, 1969, said he, parentheses Nixon, the President of the United States, emphasized that you have to face the fact that the whole problem, and this is about drugs and the drug war, is really the blacks. The key is to devise a system that recognizes this while not appearing to. So we started with Anslinger coming down on the Latinos. And then Haldeman says Nixon did it to get at the blacks, who Mr. Connolly rightfully pointed out are 4 times more likely to be arrested and 8 times more likely to be convicted. Then we have Mr. Ehrlichman, White House counsel to President Nixon, in an interview, the author of Smoke and Mirrors, The War on Drugs and Politics of Failure. Mr. Ehrlichman said, look, we understand we couldn't make it illegal to be young or poor or black in the United States, but we could criminalize their common pleasure. We understand that drugs were not the health problem we were making them out to be, but it was such a perfect issue for the Nixon White House, we couldn't resist it. I just want y'all to know the underpinnings of the policies that you are carrying out and furthering, the basis of them and where they started and the genesis of them. And then Mr. Ehrlichman said, we knew we were lying about the health effects on marijuana. We knew we were lying about that, but this is what we were doing to win the election, and it worked. 43 years ago, admitted all fantasy. But our law still goes on, and we continue to do it, and it's still Schedule I. We are abettors, aiders and abettors of Ehrlichman, Haldeman, and Nixon. And then I think it's interesting, and this sort of has nothing to do with my good friend Mr. Micah, who talked about the schizophrenia of the drug policies. My father was a psychiatrist. I found this really interesting, and I'm Jewish. Some of my colleagues who are for this are not Jewish. But Mr. Nixon, in talking to Haldeman, his chief of staff said, I want a GD strong statement on marijuana. I mean one on marijuana that just tears the rear out of them. By God, we're going to hit the marijuana thing. I want to hit it right square in the puss. You know, it's a funny thing. Every one of the bastards out there for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. What the Christ is the matter with the Jews, Bob? What is the matter with them? I suppose it's because most of them are psychiatrists. That is the underpinnings and the genesis of the policy upon which our drug war is being fought. I think it's time to get real and change it. I thank you for the opportunity to quote these American leaders. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have to commend our colleague for an excellent imitation of Richard Nixon.
I am not a crook.
Well, we certainly have a diversity, and Mr. Connolly, when we open this to other members who aren't on the panel, we get an earful, but I think everyone has their perspective and their where they're coming from needs to be aired. So, well, that's the purpose of this hearing.
Time has expired, and I'll yield 5 minutes to Mr. Cohen.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to mention that one of the smartest men in the world is Dr. Francis Collins, who's the head of the NIH and head of the Human Genome Project. He said this weekend he'd like to study marijuana a little more because he's concerned about the possibility, never shown, of lung cancer because people inhale deeply, and because he thinks youth shouldn't use it, which I certainly agree with. Mr. Blumenauer made that point, because IQs have gone down for kids who smoke marijuana. Indeed, they shouldn't do tobacco, alcohol, and some say seen and not heard, but that's neither here nor there. But he said, I don't want to sound like one of these people that says marijuana is evil. I don't think it is. That's Dr. Francis Collins, the number one, maybe one of the most intellectual, brilliant people in the world on research science and these things. A. B. Mr. Harrigan, you've been in this business now for close to 30 years. 1987, you started with the DEA.
I started when I was 3 years old.
Right, I thought. How have your views changed on marijuana in those 30 years?
To be quite honest with you, sir, very little.
I was afraid of that.
I see the devastation.
That's enough. The fact that it's changed very little says a lot.
You want me to respond to your question?
No, sir, because we have limited. I know you would. We have limited time. The fact that it's changed very little shows that you haven't kept up with society, you haven't kept up with science, and it's part of the problem.
Science and medical, I do keep up with, sir.
All right. You mentioned in your statement that, and read me back that sentence, quote, it insults our common values. I want you to read me what you said.
Yes, sir. I believe this is the section you're referring to. We also know that marijuana destroys lives and families, undermines our economy, and insults our common values.
What are the common values it insults?
For me, sir, I will tell you. I will tell you. If you
said we know, you're speaking as clairvoyant voice of America. What are our common values?
I would venture to guess all of law enforcement. Just about every single parent out there as well.
Single parent?
Yes, every single parent. It's based on, again, medical, sir, and scientific fact, not public opinion. Okay, I am not the medical expert, as I said before. Everything that I do is based on my 30-plus years of law enforcement.
Let me stop you for a minute. You said it insults our common values. What is the value it insults?
What is the value it insults?
Yeah, you said this.
Do we have all? I could easily go on and on.
You haven't started yet.
Well, if you continue to interrupt me, I would be happy to address your question.
Answer my question, sir.
Yes, it. You know what? From a bare minimum, as a parent, as a former educator, as a law enforcement official for all these years, I have seen the devastation that marijuana has caused not only on individuals, on families, and communities.
And that what's our common value, though? You still haven't stated the common value. And the fact is, 55% of Americans are in favor of decriminalization or legalization. I got to imagine some of them are parents, or the other 45% are really active. Your statement that all parents are against this is ludicrous. What do you think? People that are in favor of decriminalization and change policy don't procreate?
I said most parents.
You said all.
Would be opposed to this.
And most is wrong, too. 55% of America.
Are they all parents?
I don't think that the polls went into that, but I suspect a whole bunch of them were. It's not just the psychiatrist and the Jews and the single people. Let's get beyond Richard Nixon. Let me ask you this. Let me say this to you. Recreational use. If you look in the Wikipedia, recreational drug use is defined as the use of a drug with the intent of enhancing life, increasing euphoria, blocking unhappy memories, or creating pleasure. It's your agency that talks about recreational marijuana. I'm not quite sure recreational. To me, that's badminton or bowling or golf. But if it's enhancing euphoria, blocking unhappy memories, or creating pleasure, does that insult our values?
Yes, it does.
So euphoria is not an American value, and unhappy memories being blocked is not an American value, or creating pleasure?
Not through smoking a marijuana joint, in my opinion.
In your opinion, yes.
Yes. And again, I am neither a medical professional or a healthcare professional.
How much money has the DEA gained from asset forfeiture involved in marijuana cases?
Again, that would be difficult.
Well, then get the information for me, please. I want to know how much money you benefit the DEA from asset forfeiture laws, which make for cash register justice from enforcing marijuana laws. That would be very interesting for us to know. And
I would be happy to get that.
Have you read the Schaefer Commission report?
No, I have not, sir.
40 years old, still valid. I'd recommend you read it. I'd advise you to take a look at it.
I certainly will.
Thank you. And let me ask one last question, Mr. You can give us time, 1 second. Your boss, Ms. Linhart, spoke at the winter meeting of the Major County Sheriff's Association, and she spoke about the president and his remarks that marijuana is not more dangerous than alcohol. And she said her lowest point in 33 years of the DEA was learning that a hemp flag was flown over the Capitol on July the 4th. Do you agree that flying a hemp flag over the Capitol should have been her lowest moment, or maybe the killing of a DEA agent, or maybe somebody who died of a heroin overdose should have been her lowest moment?
Yeah, well, I don't know if she said it exactly as you quoted.
This is a quote.
But it is troubling. I absolutely agree with the administrator.
And do you disagree with do you agree with her that marijuana is not more dangerous than alcohol?
Again, marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance that Congress has passed, Congress has agreed to.
We're not talking about that. Marijuana, as a standing on its own, is it worse than alcohol that kills tens of thousands of people and causes much violence and cirrhosis of the liver and DTs?
Again, marijuana is a Schedule I.
You're not going to answer the question. I'll yield back that man in time.
So that was was that over the Capitol or the White House that they flew the hemp flag?
Best of my knowledge, it was the Capitol.
Okay. Well,
give them enough hemp and they'll hang themselves.
Well, part of our discovery effort here. Interesting. What we're going to do is we've got a couple of questions. I'll yield to anyone else.
All right. So that's coverage from our friends at moxnews.com. Unfair and biased, moxnews.com. Thank you guys for doing that great work. In fact, for our listeners out there, we made a donation to Mox News to help them keep going from some of your donations here to 420 Radio. Seemed only fair. All right, when we come back, we'll have time to do a radical rant. We are going to take a look at a blockbuster story, a bombshell that's come out here from the Portland Mercury regarding New Approach Oregon's attempt to legalize marijuana. And the one man who is blocking it. Stay tuned.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Stop looking at me. I can stop smoking pot anytime I want.
Okay, how about right now?
Next week is better.
You disappoint me. Now I'm going to go pee on the carpet and eat my own poop.
If we're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know, they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
This is the story appearing right now in the Portland Mercury here in Portland, Oregon. One of our local weeklies entitled Slow Burn. A pot supporter is stymieing our best shot at legal weed by Dirk Vanderhart, and a very cute picture of a sad little bud. And I've been hearing from my sources various aspects of this story for a while. It's now breaking in the mainstream media, and it concerns a man named Michael McNichols. Now, Michael McNichols is a attorney out of Canby, but he's not a drug war attorney. He's not one of our activist lawyers or anything like that. He does bankruptcies, probate, and general civil litigation. To the best of my searches throughout Google, I can see him never, ever uttering a public word or having anything to do whatsoever with marijuana reform. And believe me, that happens quite a bit here in Oregon. We have a lot of marijuana reform going on. So if he'd have said something in the past, I probably would have heard it. He's a MBA. He's the chair of the budget committee at the Clackamas Community College. And he says that pot should be legal. Quote, there's no reason it shouldn't be taxed. There's this failed war on drugs. End quote. So, all right, why am I talking about Michael McNichols? Well, he has temporarily blocked Initiative 37, otherwise known as New Approach Oregon, one of our ballot initiatives going forward to try to legalize marijuana in this state. So you got Michael McNichols, who's no one's ever heard of, who's never commented on marijuana before, coming out and challenging the ballot title to the New Approach Oregon initiative. And the attorney general who reviews this, right, or the elections board official, whoever that reviews this, saw the challenge to the title and the summary, right? This is where they say, you know, what you're saying in the summary doesn't really match what the law is doing. The official that reviewed it threw the challenge out, said, there's nothing to this, right? It's frivolous. But as is his right, he could appeal that to the Supreme Court, and he has. So Michael McNichols of Canby, Oregon, has challenged this to the Supreme Court, which still has yet to decide. And if it does decide, would be around April sometime that a decision would come down. Legal observers I know who've reviewed this case and challenge say it has zero chance of getting struck down by the Supreme Court. So, or zero chance of passing the Supreme Court, I should say. It's going to get struck down. So New Approach Oregon will be able to go forward, but only be able to do so later than if this challenge didn't exist. It's a stalling tactic, basically. Now, in the interim, New Approach Oregon has filed a second initiative, which is exactly the same initiative, except for one technical difference. It takes excludes industrial hemp as part of the definition of marijuana. So one slight difference, right? Put that forward, and Michael McNichols of Canby, Oregon, once again challenged it. The same damn language, challenged it again. And, of course, the officials at the elections department threw it out again. And he has until, I think, the 21st to appeal this second one to the Supreme Court. And if he does appeal the second one to the Supreme Court, and the second one is the preferred version, it might not be until late May or June that New Approach Oregon is able to gather signatures. So the question in Oregon activism today is, who the hell is Mike McNichols? Now, Mr. McNichols says he's not affiliated with any organization or any other group, says he's doing this as an independent concerned citizen, but McNichols does say that he favors Paul Stanford's OCTA, the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, says that it's a simpler initiative. He has some support for it. Okay, but he says he's not affiliated with anyone in trying to do these blocks. Now, the New Approach Oregon initiative has deep pockets. It's funded by, it's backed by folks like Drug Policy Alliance and others who can guarantee enough money to get the signatures no matter when they have to start. If they have to start later, it'll cost more money, but they'll be able to get the signatures and get on the ballot. There's no question about that. So Portland Mercury reached out to Stanford, Paul Stanford from Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and he says, it says, even Paul Stanford, the perennial pot activist who succeeded in getting a legalization measure on the 2012 ballot, questions McNichols' apparent support of two measures that Stanford's floating this year. Quote, I sometimes think when he says he likes ours better, maybe he's trying to hurt us, end quote, Stanford said recently. But Anthony Johnson from New Approach Oregon says that this Mike McNichols of Canby, Oregon, is a complete mystery, and, quote, I suspect that somebody's put him up to it, end quote. So, McNichols insisted he appealed the first measure strictly as a concerned citizen, but also said he preferred Stanford's proposals over New Approaches, calling them, quote, very good in their simplicity, end quote. Now, Paul Stanford already has the ballot titles, and they've already gotten through, and nobody challenged those. So they've been gathering signatures since at least September. And on the OCTA, which is the statutory one that requires 87,000 signatures, has gathered 27,000 signatures in, has turned in, I should say, 27,000 signatures in 7 months. And for the other amendment item, which is a constitutional amendment for which they need about 160,000 signatures, they've turned in about 13,000 in 7 months. And they have until July to get the signatures they need. So at 27,000, they're about 1/5 of the way of what they need, because you need about 150,000. You need about, you aim for about twice as much so that you'll get your validity rate and you'll be able to withstand the ones that get thrown out. Stanford also, in the Portland Mercury piece, Stanford concedes the delays from McNichols could help his cause, since people might become confused if three separate marijuana petitions are in circulation. Quote, people will think they signed one when they really signed the other one. Every signature we get will make it harder for them to get signatures, end quote. Also in the piece, a lingering resentment toward New Approach. Apparently, Stanford admits to there being bad blood between the two campaigns. But this is just coincidence that this Mike McNichols has appeared. Just so happened. I mean, what incredible luck for Paul Stanford. Because you got to figure out that this Mike McNichols, who turns in a ballot title challenge as just a concerned citizen, and yet I looked it up because you know me, and when I read the title challenge, it's just laden with the words we and our. What a coincidence. And what a coincidence when you consider that if both New Approach Oregon and OCTA both made the ballot, it's likely that the New Approach Oregon would get more votes than the OCTA, just because it's a more conservative measure. And if they both passed, it would be the New Approach Oregon that would go into effect if it had more votes. And it's just coincidence that New Approach Oregon has really deep pockets and would be able to fund signature gatherers right now if it were able to move forward, whereas the other campaigns are trumping up their volunteer signature drives. Man, that's just coincidence. It's just amazing. But I've reached out to one of the co-petitioners, who's actually a very good friend of the show, me and Herb's friend, and he insists he knows nothing about there being any collusion or cooperation between these groups. So we'll just let it sit out there.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat.
All right, thanks for joining us. We're going to move on to Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll talk more about this. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.